lot of construction. But the building is there for sure. And here the sound is the sound of, I don't know what's the sound. But inside the yeshiva, there's the sound of Torah Baruch Hashem. So I want to talk to you a little bit. I felt bad. I think before I left, I was supposed to come here. That was the last schmooze before I left, and I'm glad that I'm able to begin over here. So, if you would have seen, we had the Nasifa last week in Yerushalayim with the guys from the yeshivas. 600-700 guys in Shraga. And if you saw it, the Rotson to the Steigerkurs is unbelievable. Hashem, this is the times that we're living in. Zelumazel Sarlokim, that there's so much darkness, but at the same time, there's really an unbelievable amount of light. So let me talk a little bit about that. We're entering into the time of Mishnechnes Adam Rav Mesimcha. And we have the schus to have the Hashroah of Pasha Shkolim, of this time of Shkolim. The Mishnah says at the beginning of Shkolim is Be'achad Ba'odah Mashmin Al Shkolim. That this time of the year, Mashmin Al Shkolim. It's not just the little Zeicher that we do by Tanis Esther, but Mashmin Al Shkolim, that we're able to hear what the Shkolim are telling us. We're able to hear what the Shkolim are telling us. What the Inyan of Machsa Shekel is in our Avodah, what that means. And Chazal revealed in the Tanchuma an amazing thing. Chazal revealed to us that Moshe Rabbeinu was very, very worried what was going to be with us after he died. What's going to be with us? Sof kol sof, Moshe Rabbeinu knew that he was the one, more than anybody, that had the ability to lift us up. He was our Rebbe. He brought us to that place that nobody else could. And Moshe Rabbeinu was worried what was going to be after he died. Who's going to help a Jew stand up tall, to be proud? Who's going to remember him? Not because of his covet, Moshe Rabbeinu, but who's going to remember what he did for us, and his ability to help us be proud Jews? So the Medrash Tanchuma says, Kisisa Zroish B'nai Yisrael, Kisisa Zroish B'nai Yisrael Chayecha, the Medrash says. Kishem sha'ata oimed achshe v'nois lehem parshis shkolim bata zoi keif es roisha. That Hashem Yisroch said to Moshe Rabbeinu, the time is coming for you to leave the world. But kisisa is written in the future tense, right? Kisisa es roish b'nei Yisroch. Which means that the same way that now, while you're in the world, through the mitzvah of Machzah Shekel, you lift up their heads, you lift them up. Chayecha k'shem sh'ata oimed achshav v'neislam parshas shkolim bata zoi kifas roishon. Kach b'chol shana v'shana shekorin oisa l'fonai. So too, each and every year, when you read this parasha when it comes of shkolim, what we're in now this time, kilo ata oimed sham means it's ki'ilu, if we close our eyes, Moshe Rabbeinu is standing. Moshe Rabbeinu is standing by each and every one of us, and he sees us, and he lifts up each and every one of our heads. Moshe Rabbeinu lifts up our heads. We need to understand. I mean, it's a very nice thing, Masa Shekel. And what it was used for, primarily for the Korbanos Tzibur at the time, then for the Mishkan, the Adanim, and so on. But But what is the Indian of the Masa Shekel that Moshe Rabbeinu was able through the mitzvah of the Masa Shekel, the Nesias HaRosh, Kisis HaRosh Bnei Yisrael? Many, many people walk with their heads down for different reasons. And that somehow at the Zoykif HaRosh, this time of the year, a Jew is able to have a Zekifas HaRosh, Kisis HaRosh Bnei Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu was there with us, lifting up our heads. How? What does that mean? That's Aleph. Beis, you all know that Haman HaRasha also had a fascination and interest with Shkolim. And the Gemara tells us that Golov Yadulif Namisha Amava Ayah Ha'ilam, that the Baruch Shalom knew very, very well. She'osid Haman Lishkol Shkolim Al Yisrael, that there was going to be a time in the future where Haman was going to gather together to make a big withdrawal from his bank account of Shkolim in order to buy the Jews from Achashverosh for the purpose of Lahashmid Laharug La'abe in order to kill us. Lefichach hikdim shkolehin leshkolos. Therefore, in order to preempt the future genocide that was intended by Haman through his shkolim, that he aseres alaf and kikar kesef, that he spent a fortune of his money to buy the Jews through the years. Different rishonim, Eichmann yamar shemos. There was money to buy the Jews. He sold Jews. Bought Jews. So Haman was buying the right from Ahasuerus to kill every Jew in all of 127 Medinas. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the mitzvah of Machzor HaShekel Lahakdim Shkalein L'Shkalot, so that our Machzor HaShekel, our mitzvah bringing the shekel, the half a shekel at this time of the year, Our remembering it, our avoda, is able to preempt the shkolim of Haman. Again, how does this little coin accomplish all of this? Aleph, Zekifas HaRosh, Kisisas HaRosh Bnei Yisrael. It brings us back with Moshe Rabbeinu. All of the mitzvahs of the Torah. Hashem doesn't say not Tfilin, not Shabbos. Hashem says, Kisisa Zoish Bnei Yisrael of Kudeya, the mitzvah Machzor HaShekel. Strange. There are a lot of bigger mitzvahs than this. We're not even able to keep it now. We have only a Zeche. And somehow that through this mitzvah Machzor HaShekel, that you and I have the ability, we're empowered to fight against whatever Amalek means in our lives. Amalek means many things, I'm not going to go into that right now. But we have the ability through this mitzvah to be able to offset, to preempt. Not to get into a fight with Amalek. You know what was so geschmack about the Six-Day War? You weren't born yet. What was the most geschmack thing about the Six-Day War? I remember the excitement, I remember the fear and the excitement of the time, was that every single Egyptian plane was destroyed before it took off. That was geschmack. It wasn't that there was a milchama. There was also a milchama. But the whole Egyptian Air Force, it's how that happened in the whole Ishtalsis and the whole story of how the Jews knew about that. Every single Egyptian plane was destroyed. It was that. In other words, the war was finished before it started. Hikdim shkolayim l'shkolov means that once you're already in the war with Amalek, it's very bitter. Once you're in the war with Amalek, like Lamosha, you have with the technology. So they have all kinds of hamtsaot to try to fight against the technology. With the filters, and you can have a buddy system, and whatever, I don't know. You have the Chavetz Chaim on your screen when you turn it on. I don't know what you do. You have a picture of the Baba Sali, this father, whatever. there are all kinds of hamtzaot, like how to fight the war. But wouldn't it be nice if there was like a preemptive strike? Like you could hit Amalek on the ground. You could hit this stuff like before it takes off. Because, you know, once it gets into your head, then you're ready. All right, you're fighting, your filters, all this stuff, you know. It's a milchama, I don't have to tell you. It's a milchama. It's a horrible milchama. There must be a way to preempt, like to destroy Amalek's air force before it takes off. That's the chashuva thing. That was the most geshmak thing about the Six-Day War. When that happened, how Jews felt. You were already, no, you were. How we felt at that time when that happened, with the screaming that was going on in shul, and all it was going crazy. The Bechlau, the whole time was the time of Nisim and the flows. But when we heard about how that the Egyptians were crushed, they couldn't even take off. Everything was destroyed. So there's no milchama. It's ois milchama. No milchama. So somehow, again, through this funny little mitzvah, there's this koach of lahaktim to preempt, that our shkolim are able to preempt the shkolim of Haman. Also, there's a chazal that say that Haman heard that we were Isaac and Inyev, the sugya, one of the gears is that Isaac and that sugya of Mas Hashem. But it's clear that somehow through this half a shekel, there's this preemptive strike, and Amalek is hit on the ground. There's no milchama. Not like all of us that we're in a milchama, and sometimes we win, sometimes we lose, and we're going out of our kalim trying to win the milchama. And you know, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and nobody's around you, and you know how to press this button to get past this thing and to go to that thing, and you've done it before, but you haven't done it for the last 3 weeks. Now, there's a milchama. Once you're in the milchama, there's a strong chance that you're going to lose. The enemy is strong. It's very hard to win. How do you preempt it? If we would know the secret to preempting the milchama, life would be a lot better. No one wants to lose the war. Every single one of you wants to win the war. No one wants to lose the war. Occasionally, you lose a battle, right? All of us do. It's a bad day, whatever. You lose a battle. Nobody wants to lose the war. None of you wants to lose the war. Myself, Rebbe, nobody here wants to lose the war. We sometimes get messed up in a lousy day in a battle, but no one wants to lose the war. But it's hard. If there was a way to destroy Amalek's air force before it takes off, that's the shayla. And Chazal tell us, in this medrash, Chazal say, in the Gemara, Chazal say, yeah, Masa Shekels, what are you talking about? I put a quarter in the pushka, that's it. I take some money out and I give the half a shekel. So let's enter into the world of the Maharal, Schusig Helen. The Maharal. Maharal is, every word of the Maharal is Pnimish of Pnimius. It's the deepest secrets of Torah, but it's written in a way of Nigla. It's written in a way that's not the language of Pnimius. It's the language of Nigla, of the revealed Torah. But every word in Maharal is Pnimius at Torah. Maharal talks about this inyan of the Shekel HaKadosh in a number of places. When I was younger, in Eretz Yisrael, the currency was not known as shkolim, it was called liras. Liras. Well, they used to say on it, liras, Yisrael. And they changed it to shekel chodesh. The currency of the Jewish people was, and now it's called once again, shkolim. That word shekel. The word shekel, the Maharal teaches us, comes from the word mishkal. You understand? Because it's a certain amount that's weighed. That's how gold and silver, right? In ancient times, it was weight. It had to do with weight. But the Maral has a whole Torah on this. Mishkal means, shekel mishkal means when something has weight. It has weight. How do you say in Hebrew, in Lashon HaKodesh, what's the word for something to say that it's heavy? Kaved. Chav Beis Dalet, right? Kaved. Videi Moshe Kvedim. Just in Parshas B'Shalach. Videi Moshe Kvedim. Moshe Rabbeinu's arms were heavy. So Aaron and Chur, right? They had to lift up. Videi Moshe Kvedim. In the word kaved, heavy, you don't have to be an expert in Lashon HaKodesh to hear that the word kaved is the source, is the shorish, is the root of what word?
Kavod.
Kavod. Kavod. Respect. Kavod means more than respect, but in English that's, I guess, the best you could do. Kavod. When the Navi Yeshaya saw what was going to be at the end of time, he says in Perek Gimel, Yirhavu hanar bazokein v'hanikla banichbud. In simple English, the Navi Yeshaya said, the time is going to come where they're going to be young people who are going to be treating with terrible disrespect. Yirhavu hanar bazokein are going to be treating old people with tremendous disrespect. V'hanikla banichbad. And people who are called niklam. Niklam is a word of lashon from lashon of kal. Kal is the opposite of kaved. Kaved means something which is heavy, it has weight. Nikla is a lashon of kal. Light. Like even in English, they say somebody's a lightweight. The nikla is going to be disrespectful to the nichbad. When the Navi Yeshaya saw what's going to be at the end of time, that's our times, he said, you're going to see there's going to come a time where young people and people who are kalim, hanikla banichbad, are going to be mechutzav, unbelievable chutzpah they're going to show to people who are nichbadim. To elderly people, hanichbadim. I remember how upset my father got. He should be healthy and well. When around 35, 40 years ago, maybe something like that, 35, there was a shul in our neighborhood where they opened up a minyan. It was called the Young Marrieds Minyan. And my father said, "What does that mean? Is it a special minyan?" He said, "There used to be like a minyan for the shoemakers, for the tailors." Because they're the ones that started the minyan. They were a chevra, they started the minyan. But what does it mean to have a young marriage minyan? It means that really old people are not welcomed at the end. No one's going to say, get out of here if an old man shows up. But it's understood. Don't we want to be with our chevra, right? You like to daven with your chevra, isn't it true? You don't want some old guy that takes him half hour to go up to the Torah to get an aliyah. Or certainly not to get up there to daven for the yom, but some old guy. You want a cool guy, a young guy, right? You want another kal, just like you. You want another lightweight to get up to. You don't want an old guy. All the descriptions of the end of time that older people are going to be. Hanikla banichba. The Navi Yeshaya says that this is what's going to be at the end of time. A nikla doesn't only mean somebody. Light and heavy over here means, doesn't have to necessarily do with age, of course. Because you could have an old person that's a kal. You could have a young person that's nichbad. It means a person of weight. Kavod, a person who is nichbad, who is worthy of respect, it's because yesh lo kvedut. It's because he takes life seriously. It's because his words have weight. His feelings, even his expressions are nichbadim because they're kvedim. Targum translates always v'idei Moshe kvedim. Targum Unkel says v'idei Moshe kvedim. Kvedim is lashon yakiran. What does the word yakar mean?
Precious,
dear, something very precious. Yakar. Ayhudim hayis ta'ara v'simcha v'salson v'yikar. Yakar means when something is very dear, something very precious. And in Eretz Yisrael, in modern day Hebrew, and not just that, even in ancient times, the word yakar also means when something is very expensive. Something is expensive, meaning it has a lot of worth, it has value. So the word shekel is in the word mishkal. The Maral says something that has weight, mishkal, it has weight. It's kaved, it's nechbad. Nechbad means it's yakar. It's precious. It's important. It's choshev, it's dear. It has kvedus, it has value. The opposite of kovet, the opposite of shekel, of mishkal, is something is kal, it's light. How do you say when something in Eretz Yisrael, how do you say that something is cheap? What's the word for cheap?
Zol.
Everything is super zol. Zol means cheap. Zol is the word lezalzel. Zilzel. What does that mean? How do you say in English lezalzel?
Disgrace.
Degrade. It's degrading. Disgusting. Lezalzel. Cheap. Zol. Lezalzel. We see in Tanakh, also in Yeshayahu and Parchez, that there's a word, zalzalim. A zalzal means a twig that breaks very easily and the wind comes, it blows it away. It doesn't have any chashivas. Zalzalim, a zalzal means something which is zol, something which is mizulzal. It's the opposite of nechbad. You following, guys? It's the opposite of nechbad. Something that has value, that's expensive, that's dear, that's precious, that's important. It weighs a lot. It weighs a lot. When there's somebody who you respect a lot, and that person says something to you, it's important to you. If a little boy goes running, if a five-year-old boy goes running over to you and he says, you're stupid and you're ugly, you don't get upset about that unless you're shaita. You don't get upset about that. Why? There's a little kid. Hazech Patli. He's nothing in my eyes. He's a little child. So he says, you're stupid, you're ugly. But if the Sklana Rebbe would say, God forbid such a thing to you, you know, I think you're stupid. You know how many people there are in the world that they're never, ever, ever able to be happy because their father once told them that you're stupid? Because the Rebbe once said, you're stupid. Because there was somebody that was nechbad in his eyes and called him an idiot, and for the rest of his life, he's nothing. Mamish nothing. Zol, zalzal, nizulzal. Because somebody who he was ma'arich, who he was mechabed, knocked him down. But if a child tells you that you know about it, you know, na'ash guy, what do I care? The President of the United States would tell you that you're nobody. That would upset you. I mean, I'm happy he's doing a lot of nice things, and I respect him for that. But he's a kal, you understand. He's an adam. I'm just not so happy because I respect the office of the president, but he's a mizulzal, you understand. He's a zalzal. He's a lightweight. I'm happy that he won, not to machshef, you understand, but he's a soft. I hope I didn't insult anybody. But he's a zalzal. It's like he's a twig. He's a lightweight. He's a lightweight. And if he would tell you a sharp word, then you wouldn't get upset. But if your rabbi would say to you something that hurts, ooh, it stings. Why? Because your rabbi is somebody that's a bekovedik person. He has weight. His words have value to you. It's important to you. You marich him. You value him. And therefore it hurts. That's why parents are the most precious people in our lives. They're yikarim. But that's exactly why they can cause such damage. They can cause unbelievable damage. And because your parent is so kaved, and because he's so yakar, your father, your mother, therefore they can lift you to the highest place, kisi says Reish Bnei Yisrael, to the highest place, where they could take you mamish, mamish. They could break you into a million pieces because in your eyes, especially little boys' eyes. I remember that when I was a kid, there was a baseball player. I was always a Yankee fan when I was a kid. And my favorite player, I don't know if you heard of him, was a guy called Mickey Mantle. I was mamish mashug with him. I had pictures all over my room. You know, I got a thing with it, number seven on it. They used to have Mayer's Trophy game. That's when there was American League and National League. I don't know if they still have, but it used to be the Yankees would play the Mets. It was an exhibition game. And I would go to, because I lived in Queens, I would go to Shea Stadium. It's not called Shea Stadium anymore. But I would go to the Mets, and I would wear the Mantle shirt, and people used to throw the beer cans at me. And I was so full of it because of Mickey, you know. My mom was Mickey Mantle. And my father came in, my father used to say to me, what do you have over here hanging in your room, pictures of a guy? So he said, what do you have? What is this? My father's from the old country. He says, why don't you hang a picture of Moshe Feinstein? Hang a picture of Lubavitch Rebbe. You have pictures here of this guy. His stam is a nobody, a shik. And I got very insulted. I would say to my father, Mickey Mantle's the greatest switch hitter who ever lived. My father doesn't know what it means to a hitter. There's not a switch hitter. And I said he hit 565 feet off the scoreboard. If it wouldn't have been for the scoreboard, it would have been, who knows, 1,000. So my father said, he told me he's a guy that he knows how to take a stickholz, means a piece of wood, and he's able to hit a ball. And for this, you hang his picture on the wall. And I remember my father said to me that if he wouldn't be a famous ball player, he'd probably be hanging in jail somewhere. And I was very angry, my father said, about Mickey Mantle, such a loshen. And then many years later, there was another Yankee by the name of Jim Bowden. He wrote a book called Ball 4. It's all before you were born. And in that book, this angry Yankee, because he was fired from the team, this guy Bowden, he wrote a book telling the truth about the Yankees. It turns out that Mickey Mantle was mamish, the lowest of the low. Drunk, a womanizer, cheated on his wife. He died a very young man because his liver was ruined from drinking. And when he was going to party and his wife, he left his wife, whatever, lowest things. For a little boy in New York who was a Yankee fan to hear that Mickey Mantle, instead of being a hero, is a zalzal, it was a very hard thing. And I tried to deny it, you know, for a while. I said, nah, Bowden is lying. It's not true. He's bitter because they fired him. I don't know. It was much worse than that. Much worse. And you know, it's hard because you look up to certain people, and the worst thing is when there's someone that you look up to and you thought he was an echbad, and it turns out to be that he's mizulzal. You know what happens to kids when, God forbid, there's somebody that they looked up to that molests a child? Most of the molestations, statistics show, take place within families. You know that. People that the kid trusts, not strangers. Most of the molestations, Hashem Yirachem, are at the hands of people who the kid looked up to. An uncle, a father, a Rebbe. Most of those molestations are not from strangers. The kid's ruined. His life is ruined. Because the one who is mechabed most, who is nechbad, who was a shekel HaKadosh, who had weight and importance in his life, nothing, not only is nothing, but treated him like a piece of dirt. A wife marries a guy, she's mechabed the guy. She looks up to him, she respects him. The guy turns out to treat her like dirt. Hashem Yirachem. The person who she respected, she finds on his phone pornography. I'm totally straight, we're not babies. This wife finds on her phone, she thought her husband's a mechubad, he lanes in shul, he goes to the tafyomi, he He's a good father. He's a great guy. By mistake, he left the wrong phone. He has two phones. He left this phone. The wife innocently just wanted to check something. She goes on the phone. Something comes up. It's a scary-looking word on the phone. She's afraid to touch what it's. She touches it there and comes up a picture. Gamarnu. She's finished. What happened to my Shekel HaKadosh? He had so much weight in my eyes, you understand? I was mechabed. I treat him with kavod. I look up to him. He's cheap. And she feels like a piece of dirt. Cheated on me. Lies to me. Mizilzal. Zol. Cheap. It's the opposite of yakar. It's the opposite of something that is dear and that's precious. So now we need to understand that the mitzvah of Machzer Shekel, of Shekel HaKadosh, that mitzvah, we're taught from Pnimius HaTorah, from the Maral, the other tzaddikim, Shekel HaKadosh, Kisises Roish Bnei Yisrael. The greatest thing in the world, the most powerful, powerful way to lift a Jew up, to make him into a person who can hold his head up, to be proud of who he is that realization that the creator of the universe, that the Bar Yo'ilim himself, Kivyachal, is Machshivni. Hu ma'arichoti. What does it mean, l'ha'arich? Not with an aleph, with an ayin. Values. He values. I thought I'm just like a little, like a goofy guy, like some goofy guy, like an idiot. And my mitzvahs and my averus have chashivas in his. One of the shvatim was not behaving at all. There was a problem bechlal with a number of the shvatim. And about that particular shevet that the Baruch Shalom says in Navi, a pasuk that it's so special to us that we say it over by Yom Neroim on Rosh Hashanah. You know who I'm talking about? Haben Yakir Li Ephraim. Haben Yakir Li Ephraim. And Ephraim says, you talking about me? Ephraim was involved in all kinds of Avodah Zarah. It was very bad. They were in the worst place, Ephraim. The Imkol Zois, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want to tell you something. You think I don't know what you're doing? I know what you're doing. And what you're doing makes a difference to me. And the reason that what you're doing, I said, you know, why don't you just get off my case, God? You know, no. Because Atayakarli, Haben Yakarli Ephraim. All kids would like that their parents should get off their cases. Just, what are you bugging me? What difference does it make to you if I do this or I don't do it? And the mother says, no, you don't understand, I love you. So, oh, here we go again. Every time she says, I love you, it means, no, homework, it means you can't have the computer, it means you're not driving to San Francisco tonight. Like every time she says, I love you, it means it's like it's something bad coming up. Right? Because it's usually, I love you, and because I love you, and when you're a kid, like it means nothing to you. But when you're a parent and you love that child more than anything in the world, haben yakirli, and you hear that that child is doing something to destroy his life, potentially, because he's so kaved, because he weighs so much in your eyes, because he's so important to you, and he's so nechbad in your eyes, it kills you. So Chazal tell us that when Hashem gave us the Torah HaSinai, Malachim came down, they put crowns on their heads, right? Nasa and Nishma, one crown for Zohar, one crown for Shomer, one crown for Nasa, one crown for Nishma. When a person understands that what is it that gives, I have another like 5 minutes, I don't know what this is about. What is it that gives chashivas to our lives? What is it that makes a person's life precious and dear and important and meaningful? That my life has weight. That what I'm doing is significant, is important. That there's a shekel HaKadosh. And that I'm a machzis HaShekel and Hashem is the other half, like it says, because it's a magen, I've used all this far. Chatzaitzis, Chatzitzura, machzis HaShekel. The Sfarim talk about that Hashem Kivyochel is saying that you and I are two halves. Every Jew has within him a chilek elokam yimal mamish. Like you have something to drink. Thank you. A chilek elokam yimal. That every Jew has within him a chilek elokam yimal. That the Baruch Shalom says, you should know. You should know that there's a half, I put a half of myself, Kivyochel, I'm invested in you. I'm invested in you. And when you invest, that's what the wife feels. And she looks on the phone, she sees this, she says, I invested my whole metzias in you, I married you, I gave myself physically and emotionally over to you. I treated you with respect. I told you 1,000 times I love you. Atayakar be'inai. And then you have this is what you do. You're going looking at pornography. You have a girlfriend on the phone or something. Zilzul. Zol, cheap. I thought you're expensive. I thought you're yakar. I thought you have great value. You're just a cheap, you're just another cheap bum like the other boys that I met in my life. You know better than the rest of them. It hurts. Mamish hurts. It's this amazing thing. Chazal tell us that as a result of the Chetah Egel, that because of the Chetah Egel, the crowns were taken away from us. And we felt mamish cheap. The lashon that Chazal uses is that like we cheated on Hashem by the chuppah. No, yeah. Marvin Hasina is like the chasm. And we cheated. Yeah. And we lost the crowns that were a symbol of something higher. What's the crown? What's the meaning of a crown? The crown means that, you see, we're not used to the meaning of a king and so on, but the crown means that even though this person looks like you, he's like a regular guy, the emphasis is that he's something much higher than you. He's a king. So when Hashem gave us to wear crowns, we don't have to think like a Purim outfit. Crowns means the Baruch Shalom is saying to each and every one of you, you should know that you're mamish b'nei melachim, you should know that you're mamish. To me, you're royal people. I crown you means that I'm machshiv you. I marach you. You have value in my eyes. Chazal said that even though those two crowns were taken away from us, every Shabbos, Moshe Rabbeinu comes and gives us back the crowns. Every Shabbos, Moshe Rabbeinu gives back the crowns. There's a teaching from Ari HaKadosh. The kisisa is rosh b'nei Yisrael. Kisisa means to lift up. Rosh means the head. And the Arizal said that if you take the word rosh and you lift up each of the letters, then when you lift up the resh, what do you have? What's the next letter higher than the resh? What's the letter higher than the resh? Shin. You take the aleph of rosh, you lift it up, it's a base. You take the shin of rosh, you lift it up, it's a saf. It spells what? Shabbos. Kisisa is resh. Every Shabbos there's an asiyas resh. When Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, Kisisa Zvesh B'nai Yisrael, Hashem is saying to Moshe, but I want you to know that even after you die, Zichut Torah Moshe, that through you and through your Torah, and especially Yismach Moshe Man Neschalka, which is Shabbos, even a Jew who the whole week long, he's Mizulzal, he's at some job where he's flirting with the secretary, and he's arguing over dollars and money, and he becomes like Mizulzal, becomes a low person, but Moshe went through your Torah. Zichut Torah Moshe. And especially on Shabbos, when a Jew is able to remember, who am I? The whole week you can become zol, cheap. You go to a job, you're at work, and you're surrounded by people who are cheap. Cheapened. And you forget. You forget, who are you? And you're not marach yourself for the shekel HaKadosh. You lose weight in your own eyes. You think that you're like the other people that are in the office. And you're also a weightless, empty person, Chalila, that has nothing higher than yourself, than the way you look or what you do for some money. Comes to Shabbos, Kisisa Zvesh B'nei Yisrael. A Jew is lifted up on Shabbos. You come to Shul, you have a Seder, and learning and mikveh, person, zmiras, Shabbos, the children, you remember, sof kol sof, I'm higher than the person that I was during the week. The money of the Matzah Shekel was used primarily for Karbonis Tzibur, for the Karbonis of Am Yisrael, because a Jew has to remember that you're not just yourself, you're part of a Tzibur. You're part of something much higher than you yourself. And that when you do an Aveira, you should know that you're harming Knesset Yisrael. Your life is not just your own life, it's B'Shem Kol Yisrael. You think as you're sitting someplace in a basement at night and you're playing some game on your computer that it's not, it doesn't hurt anybody except yourself, and Goyim always say, who am I hurting? I'm not hurting anybody. I'm only hurting myself. You know that that's not true. It's B'Shem Kol Yisrael. You and I, we don't live for ourselves. We live B'Shem Kol Yisrael. And every single word, thought, and action that we think of, that we do, that we, in our lives, it's that we say, it's B'Shem Kol Yisrael. You could say, I wish I didn't have that. I wish I didn't have so much weight. No, what are you going to do? A father can say that too. So the kid sees the father doing something that's not respectable. And the father at that moment realizes the kid looks at him differently. And the father is thinking, I wish my kid didn't respect me so much, because then I wouldn't be so disrespected. Don't look at me as anything special. And then I can do whatever I want. It's a good life. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says with the mitzvah Matzah Shekel, I gotta tell you something. I look at you as something special. Kisi says, Reish Bnei Yisrael, Ani Ma'arich Otcha. You're a melech. There's a crown. You belong to Am Yisrael. It's a tzibur. It's something bigger than yourself. And now we can understand about the Inyan of preempting Amalek and this whole thing, what it has to do with Haman. So first of all, on a very, very basic and physical level, and I'm going to end now, I'm sorry for so long. On a very basic level, very simple, basic level. Esther Malka, when the things started to unravel, she tells Ahasuerus, this Haman wanted to destroy us. Ki nimkarnu ani va'ami. He took out Shkolim from his account, Haman. Took out all that he had. He's a very rich man. We've been sold, bought by Haman, lahashmid laharug laabi, to destroy. How could it be such a thing? How could it be that Haman or Hitler, it's the same. How could it be? How do you take human beings, innocent people, good people, never hurt you. No, never hurt you. They built up your whole civilization. How do you throw them into ovens? How do you do that? How do you make this thing? My father, Zalman Zion, said the other day, we were talking, I was away for 3 months, and he was, my wife and I, we were away, and his father was very emotional. We came back from Eretz Yisrael, and we went straight to see my father and my mother. And out of nowhere, my father is a little bit not 100 the way it was. And my father, his Kanaan Harvey, is already going to be 95 Mitzvah in a few weeks. And my father just like started to say, how did they do that? And I said to my father, what are you talking about, Daddy? And he said, He says, I keep on thinking. Now, sometimes when you're older, you don't remember what happened yesterday, but you can't forget what happened 70 years ago. And my father said, how did they take my parents? They're such good people. They never hurt anybody. They were the best people. How do you throw them into a cattle car like animals? And he says, I keep on thinking about them. They took their, because my father wasn't there when the young people were taken away somewhere else. And I keep on thinking about my parents, and they tried to pack each one a suitcase. So the Germans made fun. They told them to pack suitcases. They didn't. Suitcases. And I keep on, my father said, I keep on thinking of them going on and being thrown like animals. My father said to me, my father's, they weren't young people, they were in their 60s, and they're being thrown into a cattle car like animals and starved to death. And I keep on thinking that they didn't have a bathroom, and then my father got all worked up, and he's not a person that I really ever saw cry. And his eyes were red, and my mother said, okay, let's not talk about it. And I said, Daddy, don't talk about it. Let's not talk about it. And my father kept on saying, how did they do such a thing? How do you do such a thing to a human being? What did they ever do to you? So, you know, this is something that's obvious. It's my father's thinking about this, not all of a sudden. He didn't talk this. He's thinking about this since 1944, 43, whatever, that time after Pesach, 1943. And now, because it's a little bit harder for him to say, he comes out. This is what he's thinking about. How do you do that to a human being? How do you treat a valuable creature? It's not an animal. Even a dog, you wouldn't do it. The Nazis took care of their dogs. You know that. When the Jews came with, some Jews came with pets. Very few Jews had pets. When they came with pets, the Germans took them and put them into a special place. An animal would have had a, and they gave them food. They treated them nice, the animals. Only because in the eyes of Amalek, a Jew has no value. No, not only no value. Not that he's only Zol, Mezuzah. It's nothing. Worse than nothing. An animal, you give food. And the Jews, you throw into cattle cars and you take them and you burn them. You gas them and you burn them. That's Amalek, you understand? Esther says to Ahasuerus, Nimkailu, this Haman, this Amalek, to him, a Jew is worth nothing. He thinks he buys Jews like he would buy a shmata. He buys a Jew to kill. Chazal say on Haman, Bozi ben Vayives, Bozi ben Bozi, that Amalek is the lowest of the low. But what's a Jew? Says in Shir Shirim Beferish Apostle. Mayim Rabim, Lo Yuchlu Lechabes Esau Ahav. Unaharis Lo Yishtafu. All the money of the world, all of the water of the world, the floods of the world, Lo Yuchlu Lechabes, cannot extinguish the love that Hashem has for every Jew. Unaharis Lo Yishtafu, and rivers can't extinguish it. Even if somebody would give all the money in the world for one Jew, Hashem would say nothing. Because in Hashem's eyes, a Jew is the dearest and most precious, a Ben Yakeli. And Rabbi Yisai, I'm sorry for taking so long, but the emphasis is, that's how you preempt Amalek. How do you destroy Amalek on the ground before the plane takes off? So you shouldn't have to be in the milchama, sitting there day and night, fighting and with the filters, whatever it is in your life that you're fighting. How do you preempt the battle? The Baal Shem HaKodesh, the light of the 7 days of creation, taught us, and the tzaddikim teach us, the only way is when a Jew begins to realize, Kama HaKadosh Baruch Hu mechabed oti, Kama Hu shokel oti, how much I weigh in his eyes. How important I am in his eyes. Because then a Jew's head is lifted up. And if you look at yourself as being somebody who's yakar, b'nei Hashem, if you look at yourself as somebody who's yakar, who has chashivas, then you don't do things that are low and disgusting. You don't do things that are low and disgusting. Can you imagine if you had, it's not a long time from now, 15, 20 years from now, you're going to all have beautiful children, Bez Hashem. Beautiful Jews, Erlicha children. You're going to have a beautiful daughter. She's 16 years old. The light of your eyes, mamish. The light of your eyes. Beautiful inside and out. You adore her, and you give her everything. How would you feel if you go one night, and you're walking to, I don't know, you're walking back from Ars, or you're taking a walk with your wife, it's warm or something, you're taking a walk outside. And there's a car parked someplace, and there's noise coming from the car, and you look and you see your daughter in the back seat with a guy. Again, forgive me for talking so pressed. You look and you see your daughter in the back seat with a guy. You feel good? You run away, and you can't hold yourself back. You talk to your daughter. You say, I have to tell you the truth. And your daughter has a very simple answer. Her answer is, A, that's what my friends, that's what you all do. And B, I heard that when you were 17, you also did that. So now that's a good teretz. They're good teretz and you feel good. So, shkar, shkar. Okay, to be continued. Just go ahead. I didn't know that. Thank you for reminding me that when I was 17, I also did. Shkoyer. Number one. Number two. And all your friends do that. Shkoyer. I didn't know that. So then, of course, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to upset you. Please. Next Saturday night, I won't take any more walks. I'll avoid that block. Just continue with what you were doing. Make sure you know you take a birth control pill. We don't want any to mess up any little kids or anything like that. But I hope no father has ever experienced such a thing. But could imagine what that is. She was the dearest and most precious in your eyes. And you find him in a situation that's so cheap and low. There's nothing that hurts like that. That's like a knife in the stomach. Gosh. Worse. You feel like just to get a gun, just shoot yourself. Because you're the most precious thing in my life. And you treat yourself in such a way that's so cheap. Zol, mamish. I want you to be nechbad in your eyes. That's how you preempt Amalek. When you and I look at ourselves, if we could look at ourselves a little bit the way that Hashem looks at us, if we could see the mishkal, the kvedut, a little bit of that weight to feel that Hashem feels in each and every one of us. Jews are not sold. Jews are on board. You know, a few weeks ago they killed that tzaddik, that what was his name, Raziel Shavach, you remember? They killed that Jew. Such a special guy. Even if he wouldn't have been, but he happened to be a tzaddik of a Yid. And then last week or whatever, it was the other Yid, what was his name? Gal, Ben Gal, you know what I'm talking about?
Rav.
It was also Rav. The Yishmaelis killed him. A Jew is cheap. A Jew in the eyes of the world is cheap. Finally, the president that I was making fun a little bit, maybe, because he's half Meshuggah, so he's also Meshuggah with this too. So, and the United Nations, she's unbelievable, no? Unbelievable. I said to somebody, I want to give him after Yoina this year. You heard the words that come out from this lady? Dibur? Never heard such a thing to talk for Jews like that. Such a Dibur? And not once. Again and again, like I know. But all of that. There's some chashivas, and we get all excited. Oh, there's some goyim in the world that also think we're chashiv, you know? You know, we get all excited about it. But at the end of the day, I mentioned this on Shabbos, when we were kids, we used to go to a lot of demonstrations. We were very idealistic then. We used to miss school a lot. That was good. We used to go to these demonstrations against Russia, because Russian Jewry, and we used to go against the Syrians. We used to all kinds of demonstrations. We used to the United Nations, all kinds of demonstrations. And that was the years when Meir Kahana was, all of a sudden, was very active. It was an interesting time. It was a lot of idealism. Now there's very little idealism. People just have their phones, and their greatest ideal is, how do I increase the amount of people on my chat group or something, I don't know. But there used to be idealism, like even with Vietnam, you know, there's a certain idealism, pro-Vietnam, anti-Vietnam. We used to actually sit at lunch and fight about these things. It's hard to believe. About the Yankees and the Mets and about other things, all these things. And one of the chants that we used to chant, because the Jews were being killed, was Jewish blood is not cheap. Jewish blood is not cheap. See, by Haman, by Amalek, Jewish blood is very cheap. Abbas, you know who he is? The Russia? He sees that things are not so good with America anymore, right? So, but then he went to Europe, and they gave him in Europe covered malachim. You know? They mechabed him in Europe. By Amalek. You see how Amalek is mechabed him? Not Americans. Americans are good people. Germany, France, Sweden. The Mechabed Abasta Keil, he's a melech. Do you know what his paper was that he wrote for his thesis? What was his paper about? You know what?
Holocaust
denial. He's a Russian Marusha. And it's only a short time since the Holocaust, and he goes to Europe, and they're mechabedim bekvoid malachim. Kvoid malachim. The only ones who understand be'emes, the weight, the kavod of a Jew, are the Jewish people. And that's why, even though I don't agree with everything, that's why every Yishmaeli has to know that if you spill a drop of Jewish blood, that our boys are going to find you. It might take a week. It might take 2 weeks. Just like with the Munich massacre, you remember the Olympics? I mean, if I'm not mistaken, maybe there was one that got away. And I don't know how many years it took. It took many years. But back at that time, I think it was Golda Meir, if I'm not mistaken, I'll remember, who said, "We'll get every one of you. We'll find you. We'll get you out of your rat hole someplace in a basement. You know, in Dubai, we'll find you. No, we're going to get you. At the end of the day, we're going to get you. Because Jewish blood is not cheap. It's the first time in the long years of Golos that Jews were able to go after these people. People. These chayes. First time. But the ikur is for us to know that Jewish blood is not cheap. They're not going to learn that, but for us to know, we're not cheap. We're expensive. We're choshev. Shekel b'koydesh. Machzah shekel b'shekel ha'koydesh. When a Jew knows that and feels that, then a Moloch doesn't get out of the airport. Doesn't get off the airfield, doesn't get off the carrier, whatever. You don't have to, with filters and with this and that, and to cry, help me, please, I can't. It's mizilzal. You open up a television show nowadays, the whole thing is zilzulim. Even on the news, all they put on the news is to have these like blonde models that they put on, not Baruch Hashem that I know about it, in person, but I've been told that they have blonde models that they put on saying over the news. Because even something that used to be a little bit mechavadik, that the news was you listen to the news, it was mechavadik, that also has to be the zilzulim. Because they're mezalzel in a human being. And they're all going crazy with this thing. What's Me Too, right? The women are speaking up now. Everybody's so shocked. It's embarrassing. That men are mezalzel women. They ask them, I see, hear this? Chadashot. By the way, the women should know that if you're cheap in your own eyes, then men are going to treat you like dirt also. It's not an excuse. Those guys should be taken away and punished for everything. But the girls also have to know, what are you learning, girls, from this business? Treat yourself as something that's valuable and that's worth something. And maybe you'll be treated in a more worthwhile way. Maybe you'll meet guys that treat you in a more worthwhile way. It's also an inyan, not an excuse. But it's also an inyan. You understand what I'm saying, right? It's not an excuse, chas v'shal. But it's also an inyan. Treat yourself in a way. Look at yourself as something that's yakar. That has weight, that's kaved, that wears a crown, that's bigger than yourself, that's more important than yourself, and then you're not going to end up in this kind of a situation. They're screaming. Everybody in Hollywood knew that this guy is a Rosh, is a Marush, is a Mushkas. So then why do you go to the hotel room with him? It's a good kasha, no? The terrorist is, she didn't mean to do anything bad, she just wants to get ahead, she wants to get a job, right? Say that, but our sisters, our daughters would never go to such a place with such a person. Why? Because Zalom Mukhubad. How do you explain it? Are you going to go with some lowlife into a hotel room? And now 30 years later, you're pressing charges? Say that you can do that. And you were mistreated, you can do whatever you like. And you shouldn't be mistreated. No person should be mistreated. And they're all Rishayim. But you're so cheap in your own eyes. That's how these things are cheap. A world that's cheap. These are things that happen in a cheap world. But in a world that's yakar, a different world. Hashem Yisboch should help each and every one of you to be able to recognize and to feel the Shekel HaKadosh, the Mishkal, and the Yakus of how Hashem sees you. And that way, Bez Hashem, our wars will be wars in Kedusha, not to fight against Tuma. Wars of Kedusha that will bring us back to Yerushalayim. Amen.